This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As it's been a busy Sunday of trades, I was prepared to start the program talking about the big trade in the NBA. Desmond Bane being traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Orlando Magic and how that was going to affect the futures market for next basketball season. But then we start the show and boom, a blockbuster trade in Major League Baseball. Rafael Devers traded from the Boston Red Sox to the San Francisco Giants in exchange for pitcher Kyle Harrison, who was supposed to pitch Sunday Night Baseball tonight but got scratched, pitcher Jordan Hicks, and two minor league prospects. And I got to be honest, I am very confused. This, in my opinion, has to be a precursor to another move that the Red Sox will make. By freeing up the money, getting out of the Devers contract, they might be targeting somebody else that they're going to pay. Joining me now on the Progressive Guest Line to talk more Major League Baseball is our very own Greg Peterson. You catch him across the network here on VSiN. You listen to the Baseball Betting Show wherever you get your podcasts from. Greg, what was your first reaction when you heard about the trade? And was it like me to say, all right, we're hammering the Dodgers tonight because of the pitching change?
Well, when I heard about the trade, I was thinking, oh, the Boston Red Sox must have gotten a haul in. I mean, James Tibbs, one of the young guys in there, was a first-round pick out of Florida State, but man, it just feels like the Boston Red Sox did not get the ROI that you were looking for. I'm right there with you. This has to be freeing up money for something else. And I was already in on the LA Dodgers on the run line. I was already in on the over in this game. I just loved it all the more. And I'm right there with you because I was not bullish on Harrison. Like, Harrison is a guy that's been posting like a 4-5 ERA, has some strikeout stuff, but he didn't necessarily impress me. But then you go to Sean, hopefully I say his last name correct, Hegele, and yeah, even though this is a Giants team with a number one bullpen in the big leagues in terms of ERA, when you need to get pretty much 27 outs from the bullpen on 15 minutes notice, that's something that you don't want to be gambling on. And I very much doubled down with regards to my over, and I refired in on the LA Dodgers on the run line since I was going a little bit more pitcher dependent, was able to get that in and feel pretty good about things.
Yeah, I feel great about it, and that's what I recommended as soon as this trade came down, because you mentioned it. It's Jelly? Yeah.
Anyway, sounds good to me.
Sean's pitching for the Giants, and on short notice, as you mentioned, and we know pitchers are creatures of habit. You know, when they're prepared to go out there and start, everything is it has to go according to plan. What time they get to the ballpark, what time they have their first meal, how much water are they drinking, and at what time. And then to see Kyle Harrison warming up in the bullpen, and then all of a sudden getting a tap on the shoulder and say, hey, you're not pitching tonight because you've been traded to the Red Sox.
Happy Father's Day.
Exactly. My goodness. But now looking at both of these teams, Greg, from a futures perspective, how does this help or hurt the Red Sox in the futures market? And your opinion on the Giants now, looking at the depth of this lineup, what's the potential for the Giants moving forward?
I actually talked about this on Cashing Out about a week and a half ago when the Giants were hovering around 15-1 to win the NL West. I didn't think that was the world's worst value because I did feel like Willy Adames was going to pick it up with a bat. 3 home runs over the last 7 days. He's starting to pick it up. Now you add in the Rafael Devers, which you're dealing with Matt Chapman on the injured list. He's going to be coming back sooner rather than later. And I really do like this Giants team. They're going to take the L tonight against the LA Dodgers. But you know what? Long term, this is a team that is number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Lots of rock solid relievers out there. Now you bolster a lineup that it felt like they had plateaued a little bit earlier on during the season. We've seen Mike Yastrzemski, Jung Ho Lee, guys like that start to have a little bit of a tailspin. Now you're bringing a guy that's got north of 400 base, a guy that's able to give you some good power. I think that the San Francisco Giants are not just going to make the playoffs. I think that they could be in this division as well. Obviously, you're going to get a big plus number on them because the LA Dodgers are still the LA Dodgers. And the LA Dodgers are going to acquire talent. So it's going to be an uphill battle for the Giants. But we also said that about them in 2021 when they won the division as well. They've got a great manager. They've got a good front office that they're probably going to try to make another move or two at the deadline as well. So I look at the Giants and I think that there's some value on them being able to win this division.
Well, here's what I was taking a look at. So on FanDuel, you can bet the finalists, and whether you want to do World Series or just, you know, National League or American League, how about 27-1 odds for the National League Championship Series to be Dodgers-Giants.
That sounds pretty good to me because, yeah, you do have to get through the New York Mets, and we know that the New York Mets are going to spend. But is that pitching staff, even if they do get back Sean Manet and guys like that, are they going to be able to be built to be able to have a long-standing playoff run where we've seen Tyler McGill get a bunch of strikeouts, but we've seen his shakiness as well. We just saw this Mets team get swept by the Tampa Bay Rays for the Philadelphia Phillies. They have absolutely no bullpen pitching whatsoever. They're going to be able to put one of those starters into the bullpen to be able to help out a little bit there as well. But I mean, guys not named Kyle Schwarber, guys not named Bryce Harper, they're having a little bit of a tough time hitting the deep ball. And for the Cubs, their bullpen pitching has been amazing recently. I don't know if it's withstanding as well. 27-1, there are worse shots out there. And I mean, you're getting 27-1 for a reason. Yeah. But you know what? I could very well see those two teams being able to duke it out for the NL Championship Series.
Talking to our very own Greg Peterson here on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN. Greg will be coming up next on Cashing Out a little bit later on this evening. Plus, listen to the Baseball Betting Show wherever you get your baseball podcast from or any podcast from, but especially your baseball pods. Listen to that, and Greg will have a breakdown of every game on the schedule coming up here on Monday, including the aforementioned Boston Red Sox without Rafael Devers traveling cross-country to take on the Seattle Mariners, who will have Logan Gilbert on the mound. Right now, Greg, I'm seeing the Mariners at north of minus 170 to minus 180 favorites. Is this a fade spot for the Red Sox losing Devers in this lineup now?
And typically, I hate betting on pitchers that are making their first start off the injury list. For Logan Gilbert, looked okay in his minor league rehab starts, but wasn't giving you a bunch of length. But now you've got Rafael Devers out of the fold, and you've got Lucas Giolito on the bump. Now, I recognize that Giolito's been a little bit better recently. He has given up 0-1 runs in 3 out of his last 4 games. I think that the carriage turns into a pumpkin here. He's been getting only about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. Lowest mark since 2018. He's given up quite a bit of hard contact. You've got a Red Sox team that has to go from east to west, a little bit of body clock game starting up at 9:40 p.m. Eastern time. And yeah, the Red Sox young guys, they're starting to step up a little bit more. But I mean, Roman Anthony, he's going to need a little bit of time to get things sorted out with regards to acclimating to the big league level. And I do think that for Seattle, they do a nice job being able to jump on Giolito. The Seattle Mariners had a nice series over the weekend against the Cleveland Guardians. Got a nice win there. I think that they keep it rolling. And I do think that Gilbert still gives up a few runs, even with Devers being out of the fold, for a Red Sox team that they are a top six team with regards to runs per game. So seeing that 7.5, I like the over. And I'm looking at Seattle on the run line, being able to get plus money on that.
Yeah, and Seattle, you know, they got length out of Emerson Hancock here on Sunday, so they didn't have to use the bullpen, really. You know, just 2 innings out of the bullpen in that third game of the series against the Guardians. And for the Red Sox, it's just, I kind of want to also, it's not a Sunday night fade because they're not playing on, they didn't play on Sunday night baseball. And by the way, we do have breaking news. J.J. Spahn has won the U.S. Open. Wow. So congratulations, J.J. Spahn, who was your first round leader after shooting a 4-under. J.J. Spahn, your winner of the U.S. Open. He finishes 1-under par. He birdies the 18th hole for good measure. All he needed to do was par it. The only golfer of the weekend to finish below par is your U.S. Open champion in J.J. Spahn. But, Greg, as I was mentioning for the Red Sox, the fade that I want to do is they just came off a 3-game sweep at the hands of the Yankees. They couldn't be any higher emotionally. Now they find out that Rafael Devers is traded. It's just a spot that I want to go against this team in this spot, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And let's take a look at some other games here on this schedule for Major League Baseball on Monday. Greg, where are you looking to attack the market here of this short schedule?
Well, we've got the Washington Nationals at even money on the run line to go against the Colorado Rockies. And the Colorado Rockies, congratulations to them on their explosion against the Atlanta Braves. I don't think lightning is going to be striking twice. 7 road wins thus far this season for the Colorado Rockies. Entered into the today averaging 2.5 runs per game away from home. Now, are they a little bit better with Ariel Estrada along with Orlando Arcia in the lineup? Sure they are. And let's call it what it is. Jake Irvin, not necessarily going to be winning a Cy Young Award this year. He's getting feared that 6 strikeouts per 9 innings, rocking a little bit north of a 4 ERA, but Carson Palmquist, north of a 7 ERA. He's given up 2 home runs and north of 5 walks per 9 innings. This is a Washington Nationals team that's been a little bit hot and cold at the plate, but And the pitching overall wasn't too bad in that series against the Miami Marlins. I do think that Irvin is going to be able to pick it up a little bit. And I do think that for the Colorado Rockies, after having the highs of highs taking down the Atlanta Braves, I think that this is going to be a rude awakening. I do like the under of 9. And I do like the run line here of the Nationals being able to get that at even money against a Rockies team that they have more multiple run losses this year than any other National League team has losses in general.
Might have an opportunity here, Greg, to live bet the Dodgers as the Giants have just taken a 3-2 lead over the Dodgers here in the fourth inning with two outs. With two outs, Dustin May hits Mike Yastrzemski with a pitch and then proceeds to give up a single and then a triple, scoring three runs. I mean, sometimes it just happens that way. You're one out away from getting out of the inning here with a 2-0 lead, and instead you hit Yastrzemski with a pitch, Yastrzemski singled. He hits Porter with the pitch. So you hit Porter with the pitch, and then all of a sudden the inning's getting away from you here as the Giants have a 3-2 lead over the Dodgers. You mentioned that Giants bullpen, Greg. We've got about 30 seconds left. Would you consider a live bet on the Dodgers right now? You can get about minus 105 odds.
Yep, I think that that's great value here. You're able to get close to even money on that end. I didn't like the over before. I like the over even more now because you're pretty much needing to get 27 outs out of that Giants bullpen. And additionally for the LA Dodgers, they've been in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA as well. So, I mean, I do like the Dodgers on the money line, but I think a live over is also a really good play.
Live total now 10.5. Greg, great stuff as always, man. Have a good show tonight. We'll talk to you.
Always love joining you, Scott. Thank you so much.
There he is, our very own Greg Peterson. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Congratulations to J.J. Spahn winning the U.S. Open at 1 under par.
According to BetMGM, Spahn was as high as 125-1 to win the event prior to the opening round, in which he was your first round leader. Shot a 4 under in his first round. Now, let's think about that. Let this sink in for a minute. And think about what we witnessed here at the U.S. Open. J.J. Spahn, the only golfer to shoot under par this weekend here at Oakmont. Second place, Robert McIntyre at 1 over. Third, Victor Hovland at 2 over. And then Cameron Young and Tyrell Hatton, as well as Carlos Ortiz, 3 over. John Rahm, 4 over. Scottie Scheffler finishes T7 at 4 over. So cash your Scottie Scheffler top 10 bets. You have to lay a little bit of juice to bet that. But Scottie Scheffler does finish top 10, T7, at 4 over par. And if J.J. Spahn doesn't shoot a 66 in his opening round, J.J. Spahn doesn't win this U.S. Open. I mean, you look at what he did the entire weekend. Opening round 66. So he shoots 4 under. Then he shoots 72, 69, 72. He was 2 over in the second round. He was 2 over in the fourth round. And he wins the U.S. Open. That's just wild. Meanwhile, great day for Robert McIntyre, who shot 68 here in the final round to finish runner-up at 1 over. Victor Hovland gave it a run, but he finished at 3 over for the day and winds up being 2 over for the tournament. And Hovland's going to look back at that, front nine stretch where he bogeyed 2, 3, 8, and 9 and wonder what could have been for his round and for his tournament. John Rahm shot a 67 here on Sunday, birdieing 16, 17, and 18 as he finishes T7 as well, along with Scottie Scheffler. At 4 over par. So congratulations, J.J. Spahn, and congratulations if anybody had Spahn out there. I certainly didn't, and I don't know if many people did at 125-1 to win the event. But again, the only golfer to shoot under par here at the U.S. Open. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we're monitoring two baseball games in progress right now. You got the Dodgers and the Giants from L.A. after the shakeup prior to this game, where the Giants starting pitcher Kyle Harrison was scratched from his start because he was traded to the Boston Red Sox for Rafael Devers, part of a package from the San Francisco Giants going to the Boston Red Sox for Rafael Devers. And my immediate thoughts after that trade were to back the Dodgers here in this game. Back the Dodgers on the run line, because you were going to get a pitcher in Sean Gelly who was not prepared to start this game. And the Giants were going to have to get the whole game out of their bullpen and also not have Jordan Hicks in their bullpen. So they were going to have to manage the entire game here against a very potent Dodger lineup. And the Dodgers put up two runs early on Jelly. And then the Giants in the top of the fourth inning take a 3-2 lead over the Dodgers, scoring all three runs with two outs after Dustin May had two outs, nobody on base, gives up a single to Yastrzemski. He hits Porter with a pitch. Costin singles in a run. And then Jung Ho Lee triples in two runs. 3-2. Giants lead the Dodgers right now. Two outs in the bottom of the fourth inning. Your live market right now, you can get the Dodgers pretty much at even money. -101 up on DraftKings right now. I would still take that bet. I would still bet the Dodgers right now. And you can even take a nice plus money chase on Dodgers run line. Now, you don't usually like laying the run line with a home team because you're not guaranteed that ninth inning at bat. And certainly you don't like it when you're losing by one already. So just on that money line, at even money is a good bet here for the Dodgers. We know how great their lineup is. And we know even though the Giants have a good bullpen, one less arm in that bullpen and having to scramble after the trade that went down prior to the game. Pitchers kind of being in little unfamiliar roles here. So Jelly comes in, gives up two runs. And now think about this. He could have been a guy that pitches the stretch that they're in right now. Like somebody could have, if Harrison got this start and gave up two runs in four innings and then gets pulled, well, then Jelly could have came in and pitched 4-5-6 or 6-7-8 or 5-6-7, whatever it is, and shut down or just eat those innings or, you know, have quality innings here for the Giants. Not able to do so, obviously, because he had to be thrust into the starting role. And so now a pitching change here for the Giants here, bottom of the fourth inning, and it is going to be a new pitcher for the Giants against the Dodgers. So we'll keep monitoring that to see if the Dodgers can make a comeback. But on the live line, I like it. Take the Dodgers close to even money, -101 on the live line. Also in progress, another baseball game that we're watching, and that is the College World Series game between Coastal Carolina and Oregon State. This is the second game for both of these teams after both teams won in their opening matches earlier here over the weekend. And so we have Coastal with a 4-1 lead right now over Oregon State in the fourth inning. And for Coastal Carolina, this is a team that has second most, I believe, wins in Division I and the longest active winning streak in college baseball right now. I believe it's 24 straight wins for Coastal as they have a 4-1 lead in the top of the fourth inning against Oregon State. Coastal closed at north of -160 favorites, depending on the book. And on the live line, they are overwhelming favorites right now with this 4-1 lead in the fourth inning. We had some other sports going on as we were, you know, preparing for the show and getting ready to do the live betting here. Soccer, the United States men's national team gets a win in their Gold Cup game. So congratulations, even though it's not our top roster. This is not the top unit here for the U.S. men's national team, but snapping a losing streak is good. No matter who you beat, no matter how you get the win, U.S. needed a win because a lot of criticism about players that are not playing for the United States here in the Gold Cup because, well, let's be honest, it's not a big tournament for the United States. It just isn't. I mean, it's sure, it is a bigger tournament, but it's not of the utmost importance. Used to be, you know, you needed to perform well in the Gold Cup in order to win your region, win CONCACAF, and then advance to the World Cup. The United States, we're in the World Cup already. World Cup's next year. And the U.S. has bigger fish to fry. They got to figure out this roster. They're changing the coaches. They got to figure everything out. And our players, some of our best players that are playing overseas in Europe, not going to take time away from their clubs to go play in a tournament, in a Gold Cup that they don't need to win. But the U.S. does get a win, 5-0 over Trinidad and Tobago. The United States men's national team massively favored in that game. So they win and cover any line that you were wanting to take a look at here. And now the U.S. men's national team will await their next game in the Gold Cup, which should be coming up here a little later on this week. I believe it is on Thursday? Thursday, yes. United States against Saudi Arabia on Thursday, where the U.S. will be heavily favored once again. For Saudi Arabia, I think they played, or they're playing right now against Haiti. No score there early on, that game being played in San Diego. So the United States with a 5-0 victory over Trinidad and Tobago opens up their Gold Cup with a W. Also, what's going on in soccer, I found it fascinating, this Club World Cup. So you have a whole bunch of teams from around the world playing against each other. You know, some MLS teams and some international teams. And we saw Inter Miami, Leo Messi's MLS squad, play their opening game against a team from Egypt yesterday. And it was a 0-0 draw. Messi had a chance to score late, did not. He was obviously the most bet player to score a goal. And I think Inter Miami closed as a short favorite in that game, but it winds up being a 0-0 draw. So keeping an eye on what's going on there with the soccer action around the world. Tomorrow, LAFC takes on Chelsea. That's right, Chelsea, you know, that squad. Chelsea's minus 450 over LAFC, that game being played in Atlanta. Hey, this summer, go all in at Circa Las Vegas with the ultimate getaway package. Just $400 all in. You're going to get a two-night stay here at Circa, a $100 dining credit, a $100 beverage credit, and your very own daybed at Stadium Swim, where the party never stops. All for just $400, resort fees and taxes included. This limited-time offer runs through September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. Coming up next, we'll get back into the NBA Finals. Mackenzie Rivers, NBA handicapper, will join me, Scott Seidenberg. Coming up next, this is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Our next guest joining me on the Progressive Guest Line, you hit him up on Twitter at Mac and Rivers. He is NBA handicapper Mackenzie Rivers from pregame.com as we talk NBA Finals. Game number 5 coming up here on Monday with the series between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers even at 2 games apiece. Mackenzie, before we get into the NBA Finals, I got to ask your reaction to this Desmond Bane trade for the Memphis Grizzlies to the Orlando Magic. How does this, in your mind, affect the futures market going into next season?
Well, it's good for the Magic. The Magic have been in desperate need for a guard, an offensive guard, someone that can hit 50, 40, 90 like Desmond Bane can do. I think he's been kind of underrated. When you look at effect on the line, when Ja Morant's out, it's for the Grizzlies, it's been like 4.5 points. I thought that is way too much. And when Desmond Bane goes out, it's like a half point, 1 point. I think those two players are much closer together. And I think with one of the two backcourt members out, I wouldn't be surprised if the Grizzlies blow it up even further after firing Taylor Jenkins this season. For the Magic, I think it's good, but it's not great. They don't have a ball handler, which is what they're going to need to really take that defense, add some offense, and they could be the Cleveland Cavaliers. But it's a good first step.
Do you think that they now have a chance to be one of the top four teams in the Eastern Conference next year when you consider Boston certainly going to be down with Jason Tatum out for a while? Plus, Boston could be, you know, maybe Maybe Boston sheds some salary. Maybe Boston is going to make some moves here in this offseason. And then you certainly got the Knicks and the Pacers, the Cavs in the mix. Can Orlando, with this acquisition now of Bane, be a top four team in the Eastern Conference?
Well, you're damning with faint praise. I mean, you, me, John, your producer, and two guys off the street could be maybe not top four, but top eight in the East. It's real dire straits there. The Celtics are going to be out of it. They're going to make some big trades. They already have without their best player. The Cavs are not going to have their second best player for a while with Darius Garland coming out. I think the Pacers could make the same leap that the Cavs did this past season. I think they could be an excellent top three team if they make some pieces to add really dynamism and ball handling to their already elite defense. I think it's definitely in possibility. I don't think this squad right now, I think they have to add one more piece. Hey, maybe it's John Morant, or maybe it's Trae Young. Maybe it's somebody like that.
All right, talk to me about the Pacers. What did you notice from Indy in the Game 4 loss to the Thunder, which, frankly, McKenzie, I thought played out the opposite of what we've seen so far in this series, where it was the Pacers with a big first half, and then the Thunder had the fourth quarter dominance as opposed to what we've seen from Indy here in this series.
I think the Thunder really had to make a come-to-Jesus moment with how they want to have their best player execute his effectiveness in the game. So there was 63 times that the Pacers pressed the Thunder in the backcourt. They were going to make him work for it. And they've been doing this all season. I think this was just a stat that came up because it was a record by Second Spectrum. No one's ever done full court press in the NBA ever. They laughed at Lou Pitino when he came, Rick Pitino, when he came into the NBA. They're like, we're going to press full court. Like, well, you can't do that. We're too good at ball handling. We're too fast. We're going to make it impossible. Well, the Pacers and Rick Carlisle took that page out of a high school playbook and said, we're going to do that. We're going to make the Thunder work for every time they get down the court. And what they've done is they finally figured out it didn't work almost for three quarters, but it eventually gave them what they needed. They said, okay, well, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not, he might be our best passer, but he's not leaps and bounds above the rest of the team as far as dribbling the ball up the court. We're going to give more of that responsibility to Jay Williams. We're going to have Shai be the closer, the Kobe, the Dwayne Wade. In the fourth quarter, he's going to be in charge of scoring the really tough buckets in this game. And that's what he did. 15 straight points to end the game, 15 out of their last 16. And he didn't have to have that wear and tear of getting the ball above the half court. So I think the Thunder solved something. I mean, their defense has been up and down, but really it was solid throughout the game. The Pacers just made some shots to give themselves the lead. I think the offense has been figured out for the Thunder, and I think that's what we're going to see for the rest of the series.
So now the Thunder are back up to a 9.5-point favorite for game number 5 coming up tomorrow, total of 223.5. When you see the 9.5 for the Thunder, what's your reaction? Because certainly we can look at prior games in this series and think about what we expected the number to be, but seeing it at 9.5, what's your reaction?
I love the way this plays out between all the Johnny-come-latelys come to the NBA. These are two even teams. And the Vegas market, which is staunch and stubborn. I think Bob Myers said after the game of Game 4, the one thing we are all certain of, this is a lot closer than we previously thought. And he's right. It's about a half point closer than we previously thought. The Pacers are about a half point better than we thought. That's what we've learned through four games, which, by the way, is not unusual. If you have four really good games or three really good games and one off game, to be upgraded by the Vegas market by a half point. Rarely more than that. And I think from 10 in game one to 9.5 is an appropriate adjustment because the Pacers are a lot better, more experienced than we thought, but by about a half point, meaning that instead of the 10th best team in the league, they're about the 7th best team in the league. The market, I think, has made the right adjustment, which is a small one. And if you look at history, it's very, very rare to have a 9-point favorite in the game in the finals. It's only the 10th time. Those teams are 8-1. The one loss was in game one. I think the Pacers are in trouble here. I think they go down 3-2. And if you look at the ATS record throughout the playoffs, because there's not a big enough sample just for the finals, the later you go in the series, if you are a big favorite, the better you do, which makes sense because it's not, oh, wow, these teams are even and we thought we were a lot better. No, the market knows this team is about 6 points better. And now that they have all, they've taken all the slings and arrows, they've taken all the adjustments that Rick Carlisle can throw at them, there's very few surprises. And the Jimmys and Joes are going to be the difference at the end of the day. So I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense here. So if you look at 9-point favorites in game 4 or later in all of the playoffs since 2002, 65% ATS in 90 games versus only 54% if it's a 9-point favorite before game four. So I think the Thunder roll here.
Wow, I love that stat. Talking to Mackenzie Rivers, NBA handicapper over at pregame.com. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN. From a player prop perspective, Mackenzie, anybody that you're looking to attack here in game number five? Did you see something in game number four that maybe opened your eyes to something? Going back to the well with an angle that you've been attacking all series long, where are you looking in the prop market right now?
Yes, so I'll give you two. One that I've been attacking all series long that I think we go back to, and that is Tyrese Halliburton. If you like him over, bet his points and assists over. If you like him under like I do, bet his points and assists under. So when you look at every time he's gone over his points, usually point guards, if they're scoring a lot, maybe they're not passing a lot, it's the opposite. If he's beating his man off the dribble and he's scoring a bunch, he's probably getting his assists too. When he goes over his points prop in this playoffs, he's 8-2 to the over on his assist prop. When he goes under, he's 3-7. So he's exactly balanced, 10 games, 10 games each in his 20 games in the playoffs. I think that's a correlated parlay. I think that's a same game parlay builder. I think because of the fact that Siakam didn't get any touches in the fourth quarter, and that was the big news, the big talking point in Indiana, I think we get a bigger Siakam game and a quieter Halliburton game. So his points and assists under 26.5 makes sense to me. And then I'll go back to what I just said about Shea. He's not a point guard. I know he gets billed that way. I know he's probably the most point guard-ish player on the Thunder, but he is a Kobe Wade disciple somewhere in between there. And the fact that he had zero assists and only 8 potential assists in game four, I don't think was just a coincidence. I think it was just the design of the Pacers' defense pressing full court and the Thunder's response to that defense, letting other people take the ball up the court, giving Shea the ball when he really needs it to attack. So the fact that his assist prop hasn't changed at all, even though he's averaging under 4 assists in these playoffs, it's still 6.5. I think that's a mistake. You can bet under right now at -105. I think that's the best bet for game four.
Any feel on the total for this game? We had 2 unders in a row now with the total in this game dropping to 223.5.
It's kind of early for what we see as far as totals drop off the cliff in game 6 and game 7. I think game 5s generally tend to go more over. But the second half seems so definitive in the fact that the Pacers really did not let the Thunder get into any flow. I kind of have mixed feelings about it. The pace has been an over pace, but both of these defenses seem to have the answers right now. So I would pass on the total.
Yeah, it feels like if you like something with the total, maybe wait for a live betting angle on that total. Mackenzie Rivers, NBA handicapper over at pregame.com. Great stuff, Mackenzie. We'll talk to you a little bit later.
See you later, man. Thank you.
There he is. Mackenzie Rivers does a great job there handicapping the NBA. Boy, great stats there for the Tyrese Halliburton stuff's incredible because I love his under. And we were on the under 18.5 for his points in game number 4. He scores 18, so he goes under. We've had a little bit market adjustment here to 17.5 now. I still like the under, but I'd like to give myself a little bit of cushion and go with the under points and assist combo. Because if he does, score 18 points and it winds up being an over on the points prop, he might not get the amount of assists that could get the points and assists prop to go over. So I'm going to do that under as opposed to just isolating the points to go under. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Reminder, if you want to bet smarter this football season, you can become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for just $199 and a free order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. Go to vsin.com/subscribe now. Use promo code BOOK when you sign up. That's promo code BOOK at vsin.com/subscribe. This is Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. You can hit us up on the network at VSiN Live. Tracking the live action in progress right now in both Major League Baseball and college baseball, where in the College World Series, Coastal Carolina has a 5-1 lead over Oregon State in the fifth inning. And Coastal right now a heavy, heavy live favorite as they have that 5-1 lead. In fact, that's off the board right now. I saw it as high as, I mean, it's way over. It's not a live bet. It's actually 6-1 now, Coastal over Oregon State in the top of the fifth inning. So Coastal extend their lead and looking to extend the nation's longest active winning streak as they will look to improve to 2-0 here at the College World Series. Coastal -5.5 on the live run line right now. Live total of 11.5 as they are in the fifth inning there in Omaha. Meanwhile, the Dodgers, little threat here in the bottom of the fifth inning. There's two outs. Another relief pitcher on here for the Giants as the Dodgers will look to get back in this game, and I believe they just did. A 3-run home run off the bat of Andy Páez as the Dodgers take a 5-3 lead over the San Francisco Giants in the bottom of the fifth inning. It happens just like that so quickly. The Dodgers had a 2-0 lead early in this game, LA scoring a run early in the first inning. Now, keep in mind, prior to this game, the big breaking news in Major League Baseball. Rafael Devers of the Red Sox traded to the San Francisco Giants. And part of the package returning to Boston was tonight's starting pitcher for the Giants, Kyle Harrison. So if you had bets on this game and you listed your pitchers as Dustin May, Kyle Harrison, your bets were void. If you placed your wagers and you bet action, your bets are still good. Sometimes it's better to list pitchers because there could be a late change. If your handicap is on a specific pitcher, then you list pitchers. Otherwise, if you want just action, you bet action. It doesn't matter who pitches, and your bet stays in. So we had Kyle Harrison scheduled to pitch for the Giants. He's in the bullpen warming up prior to the game and then finds out not only is he not pitching tonight, but he's been traded to the Boston Red Sox. And so the Giants have to scramble. And they decide to go with Sean Gelly to pitch this game. He gets the start, gives up one run in the first inning, one run in the second inning, and the Dodgers had a 2-0 lead going into the top of the fourth inning. And that is where Dustin May got into a little bit of trouble. First two batters, Dustin May got out in the top of the fourth inning before allowing a single to Mike Yastrzemski, hitting a batter with a pitch, and then giving up back-to-back hits, a single and a triple. The big blow, that Jung Ho Lee triple, which scored two runs. The Giants scored three runs in the top of the fourth inning. It was at that moment where I still was recommending a live bet on the Dodgers. You could have gotten the Dodgers at even money, down 3-2. And the theory was behind that, we know how deep the Dodgers lineup is. We know how good this Dodgers team is. And the Giants, even though we respect their bullpen, one, that's a lot of outs to get from your bullpen on a day where you were not planning to do that. To get 27 outs from your bullpen when you weren't planning on that, you had a starter in Kyle Harrison scheduled to go. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's got to change their expectations for the game. Guys that maybe we're in the bullpen thinking, I'm not going to pitch today, all of a sudden have to start stretching and get ready to pitch. A guy in Sean Gelly didn't expect to get the start, all of a sudden has to prepare to go out there and throw a couple of innings. And now it's just a troublesome situation for the Giants to manage throughout the remainder of this game. Plus, you take another arm away from you because part of the trade to the Red Sox was Jordan Hicks. And so that's another piece that's missing here from this Giants bullpen. And I know Hicks has gone like back and forth between starting and bullpen, but he's been coming out of the bullpen lately. So that's an arm that you take away. And what happens? Well, Andy Páez, 3-run home run as the Dodgers take a 5-3 lead going to the top of the sixth inning. So the Dodgers, how about that? Cash your first five bet on the Dodgers scoring three runs in the bottom of the fifth inning. Although, I believe first five bets, I think first five bets are listed pitchers only. I'd have to double check that. But again, always check with your book and always check with your tickets to make sure that you list pitchers or you have action. Action, your bets are good no matter what change is made. Listed pitchers only means your bet is only valid if it in fact is those pitchers pitching in these games. And so without Kyle Harrison pitching, it turns into a different bet. Dodgers, who were favorites prior to the game, pretty sizable favorites, they increased as a higher favorite once the change was made. But now, this, how do we take advantage of what we're going to expect after this trade? Because that's the thing. We have a trade that goes down in Major League Baseball. Yes, we looked at a betting angle to attack tonight as a direct result of that trade. And we can certainly look at the futures market and look at the odds on the Boston Red Sox without Rafael Devers now. How do the Red Sox compete, not just in the American League East, but looking forward into the postseason in the American League, should they get there? Right now, the Red Sox are 24-1 to win the American League East. I don't think that's going to happen because I still believe the Yankees are clearly the class. Even though the Red Sox just swept the Yankees, the Yankees are still the class of that division. To win the American League, the Red Sox are, let's see, down to 19-1 to win the American League. And how about your, you know, just to make the, wow, I mean, my goodness. Red Sox to make the NLCS, I mean, you're getting long odds here on the Red Sox. I might be interested, though, in taking a flyer on one of these Red Sox futures bets. And the only reason I'm saying this, and again, I'm not sure which market I want to bet into here. Now, before the season started, full disclosure, I have a ticket on the Red Sox to make the playoffs at minus 120. I felt that with this lineup, the addition of Alex Bregman, the addition of the arms that they got in the bullpen to go along with a good starting rotation, I figured this was going to be a good year for the Red Sox. I expected a good year for the Red Sox. So I bet the Red Sox to make the postseason. Now, if there is a better number now on that bet, which it's not listed right now because the trade just went down, obviously, and also is, let's see, we have, let's see, to win, I'm just looking at some markets here up on DraftKings, but those futures markets, they get updated every single day. You get live adjusted win totals as well. The way that I think the reason why I might want to attack some Red Sox futures, whether it's a wager on the Red Sox to make the postseason or betting on the Red Sox to go over an adjusted win total, is because two parts here. The first part is the market should be sour on Boston after this trade. You trade away a player in Rafael Devers, the market should react accordingly. And we're already seeing that in the futures market where the Red Sox are much longer odds than what they were because, you know, they're coming off a sweep of the Yankees. The Red Sox, you know, get a little higher in the futures market. Trading Rafael Devers, they get a little bit lower. Red Sox to make the ALCS plus 900, you can bet up on DraftKings right now. But the win total, so they sweep the Yankees, they win the three games, and now sitting on the year, Red Sox are 37-36, game above 500. They've won five straight games. So you would think their adjusted win total would go up. If there is a downgrade in the Red Sox adjusted win total because of the Devers trade, it's something I might look to exploit. Because, second part of this, I don't think that this Rafael Devers trade was made in a vacuum. I do not think that this is an isolated incident. You don't trade Rafael Devers for Jordan Hicks and Kyle Harrison and a couple of prospects. You just don't. It's not a move. I understand the salary dump aspect of it, but you're the Red Sox. You got a ton of money. Why are you dumping salary? Unless there's another move coming. And that's where I think we can find value in attacking the futures market here, because the Red Sox could have another move coming. And that move should improve the team and therefore improve their odds. I'm Scott Satterberg. This is Live Bet Sunday. Coming up next, we'll talk a little Stanley Cup final with our friend Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com.